Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light for the world. Last week we began our journey into this great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' longest transcribed sermon in the book of Matthew. We heard Pastor Rory last week exclaim and explain all of those mighty blesseds. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are you. But you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. These are the words we hear Jesus speaking today. What does this mean? Let's start with the first word, you. You, not just you, or just you, or just me. The English language, for whatever reason, complicated though it may be, does not have a proper plural version of the word you, like so many other languages. But in this case, this is the type of you Jesus is using. You, meaning the collective you, the communal you, y'all, some might say, or all y'all, some might say. Jesus is speaking to those who follow him. Not one, but all of them. The 12, maybe, or the crowds that have followed and gathered around. Jesus says, you, y'all, all of you are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Who could tell me? Anybody? Seasons, preserves, right? Salt can be used most often in cooking. Hey, it melts the ice too, but we'll stick with the culinary for today. Salt is used to bring out the flavor of that which you put the salt on. Salt itself does not really have its own flavor. It's there to bring it out. Or it's used to preserve those things which you'd like to keep. Food to keep it from rotting, right? When combined with other things, other foods, salt does its work. How many of you have ever had a French fry that did not have salt or enough salt? How pleasant of an eating experience was that for you? It's not good. It's not good. They're even kind of soggy and limp and just sad fries. That's what those are. Those are sad, sad French fries. But how many of you had a French fry with just the right amount of salt? Sometimes people like more, sometimes like a little less, but who's had a salty French fry? How was that? Much better, right? That was a good fry. Salt is there to bring out what is natural to what it is, right? Salt is there to bring it out of itself. You are the light. Y'all are the light. The light. What does that mean? What does light do? I'm asking.
Everything.
Everything. Light does a lot. Light shows us things, right? Light, a flashlight. My phone has a flashlight. I never thought I'd see the day where I carried a flashlight with me all the time, but there it is, the most expensive flashlight I've ever owned. If I used my flashlight right now in the parking lot, it's not going to do anybody a whole heck of a lot of good, right? But in a dark room, this room, for example, if we turned off the lights, it'd be pretty dark. We need those lights to see that which is hard to see in the dark, to see our way around the room. Last night, we were here for the lock-in, and I stupidly turned a corner real fast in the dark and banged my shin on the edge of a pew. Ooh, not a good move. That's a moment when you need light. Also, some, you know, smarts would be help, but light. Light helps us to see in the dark. Eugene Peterson, who was a Presbyterian pastor, a writer, and he's probably most famous for having written an interpretive paraphrase translation into the common English of the Bible that's called The Message. Have you ever heard of The Message or read The Message? Some of us have, yeah. It's not always a great translation, but sometimes his interpretive language gives it just the color that it needs. Here's how he handles this passage. I find it particularly useful for our purposes this morning. He says, "Let me tell you why you are here," Jesus says. "You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth." Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. The God flavors of the earth. The God colors of the world. We are called to bring out those flavors, to bring out those colors, to shed light or enhance flavor for ourselves? No, but for others. Not just others. What does he say? We are light and salt for the world. For the world. It's a powerful calling.
Without light, nothing will grow.
That's also true. That's right. Light is there to help grow. Light is there to help you see. Light helps to bring about life. And salt brings about that flavor, that taste, all that is beautiful and pleasurable about food. Food which we need. This is a powerful calling that Jesus brings to his followers, the disciples, the crowd, even us, saying, "All of you are called to shed light on God's world. Not only that, but you are called not to limit it, right? You are called to be salt for the earth, to bring out those God flavors for everyone. It's a wonderful message. It's an empowering message. It's a little intimidating, but it is a beautiful way of expressing that which is our purpose as followers of Christ, as beloved children of God. That's all fine and dandy, you may be wondering. You may be thinking, Pastor Pear, but what about that last bit? Right? You are the salt, you are the light, wonderful. But what about that last bit? Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. Maybe Eugene Peterson can help us out with this one too. Let's put all of the pieces back together and hear from the message. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the scriptures, either God's laws or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. I am going to put it all together, pull it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. Trivialize even the smallest item in God's law, and you will only have trivialized yourself. But take it seriously. Show the way for others, and you will find honor in the kingdom. Unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom. Now, most of the time when we think about the law, we think of the Ten Commandments. I mean, how can you not? Charlton Heston, Moses up there with those big stones. For many of us, Ten Commandments may have started with Charlton Heston on that mountaintop, or it may have started in reading Genesis, or it may have started with this little book. This is Luther's Small Catechism. Anybody read Luther's Small Catechism in here? I would gather, yes, most of us have read Luther's Small Catechism. Luther's educational tool he wrote when presented with this varied and uneven teaching throughout the many churches, he thought, okay, we ought to have something that kind of evens the playing field here. When Luther writes about the Ten Commandments, Luther takes each of those Ten Commandments and explains them as best as he can. What I have always found to be compelling and powerful in his description of the Ten Commandments is he describes them in their restrictive roles, the thou shalt nots of it all, but then he adds something else. He adds the prescriptive part. Thou shalt not commit adultery, but also
seek to have a loving, faithful, respectful relationship with your spouse. Thou shalt not steal, but also seek to protect the goods and belongings of your neighbor. Each commandment says, here's something you shouldn't do, but not just don't do that. Go out and do more. Seek to do its opposite. Seek to care for each other. Luther often points to the Ten Commandments, citing that the first few were about how we love and worship God, but all of the rest are about loving the neighbor. How do we love and care for each other? We can understand salt and light this way. We are meant not to add our flavor, but to enhance the flavor that is already there. We are meant not to direct or inhibit the light, but to let it shine on all that is good. So when Jesus speaks of our need to be followers and teachers of these commandments, this law, he is not calling us to be the great waggers of fingers, the great cluckers of teeth. No. Jesus calls us to be beacons to others of how to live lives that are reflections of God's steadfast care and kindness, of God's grace, of God's redemptive and liberating love. We are called to bring out the God flavors and God colors so that others may also enjoy all that is good, all that is right, all that is just, all that is true, all that is trustworthy, all that is God. As we sang earlier today, this little light of mine, sing with me, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine, right? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All around the world, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the world, I'm gonna let it shine. All around the world, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We are called to be righteous. It's hard to know sometimes what it means to be righteous, because certainly when we look at those Ten Commandments or the other laws and restrictive things we are expected to follow, we fail. We fumble. We stumble. We make mistakes. We sometimes choose not to follow. Right? But if we remember those prescriptive parts as well, we remember that we have been endowed with light. And it is our duty not simply to tell others what to do, but to show them that light. We can even look to the words of our psalm today for what it might mean to be righteous. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. They have cared for the neighbor. That is how they show their righteousness, their goodness, and they have shown to everyone the goodness that is God. So, as you move through your day, as you move through the week ahead, I hope that you will sing that song with me in your hearts or even out loud in the middle of Walgreens, if that's what you got to do. Whatever you need to do to keep in mind and to remind yourself that you have been called to be salt of the earth. You have been called to be a light for the world, to bring out those God flavors, to bring out those God colors for all to see. Ask yourself as you sing that tune, am I lighting the way for others by bringing God's love into my actions? Or am I hiding it under a bucket or a bushel? What can I do today, this moment, in this interaction at Walgreens or wherever you find yourself? What can I do that will bring out God's presence in my life so that the God's presence may be more keenly felt in the lives of those whom I meet? Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's a kind gesture. Maybe it's a little change from your pocket. Maybe it's a curious and welcoming ear. There are so many opportunities and so many ways for us to let our lights shine. We needn't light the light ourselves, for we are already lit. We needn't salt or add our own flavor. The flavor is there. We are called to just bring it out for folks. So as you move through your week, sing that song. Remember that you are light, you are salt, and the world needs you. Because the world needs God flavors and God colors. Bring it out. Amen.